If you're able, would you stand with us, please, for a word of prayer? Robert Munger wrote a little tract called My Heart, His Home, and that little writing is the inspiration for my thoughts. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17, the text, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. And my question for you tonight, is your heart His home? Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we thank you for your presence that we've sensed tonight. You're here on purpose. We give you praise for every song, every word of testimony, the good things that you're doing for us. Help us another time. Give us the anointing of the Holy Ghost and accomplish your purpose through these few simple words. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Our heart is a house, and Jesus Christ desires to live in your house. He said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me." Do you remember the night that you let Jesus into your heart? Do you remember when in the darkness of your heart you let him in? He came in and began turning on the lights. He built a fire in the cold hearth and banished the chill. He started music where there had been dark stillness. He filled the emptiness with his own loving presence. I've never regretted opening my house to the Lord. This is the first step. You've got to let Jesus into your house. And after Jesus comes in, it begins a wonderful love relationship, a romance. I'm in love with Jesus and he's in love with me. Little by little, Jesus begins making his way through your house. The first room Jesus came to in my house was the library. This was the office of the mind. In a sense, it was the control room of the house. He came in with me and looked around at the books in the bookcase, the magazines on the table, the games on my computer, the pictures on my phone, the paintings on my wall. As I followed his gaze, I became uncomfortable. Strangely enough, I had not felt badly about these things before, but now that Jesus is walking through my house, I was embarrassed. There were some things there that I did not want him to see. The movies I had been watching, the pictures on the wall, the imaginations and thoughts of my mind, these were shameful. And I said, "Master, I know this room needs radical cleaning. Will you help me to make my mind what it ought to be? I want every thought to be what you would want me to think." And Jesus was so gentle and so kind and said, "That's the reason I am here. I want to help you clean this library and make it what it ought to be. First of all, take out all the things you are reading and seeing that are not helpful, not pure, not good, not true. Anything with suggestive language or vulgar meaning, just throw it out. And put good things in their place. Anything we throw out of here, we will replace with more and better things. Good, wholesome songs and the books of the Bible full of eternal life. You will yet be tempted to wrong thoughts and even distorted images of who I am. But take a full-size picture of me and hang it on the wall of your mind. And when your thoughts are centered on Christ, His purity, His power will cause wrong thoughts to retreat. If you're having trouble with this library of the mind, bring Christ in here. Pack it full with the Word of God. Meditate, memorize, keep before it the presence of God." From the library, we went to the dining room, a very large room. I spent a lot of time in the dining room. I said to him, "This is a very nice room, and you will enjoy what I serve here." I brought out my favorite dishes, worldly food, trendish and stylish dishes, popular things, I suppose it could be said. There was not anything absolutely sinful about any particular item that I had been enjoying. Certainly all of my friends were eating these items, but when I placed it before him, he said not much about it, but he didn't eat. And I said to him, somewhat disturbed, "You don't care for the food I've placed before you? What is the trouble?" And Jesus said, "I have meat to eat that ye know not of. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me." He looked at me and said, if you want food that really satisfies, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Not your own pleasures, not your own desires, not your own satisfaction. Not the cheap, shallow, chaffy, showy junk food of the world, but seek to please me first. And that food will satisfy every time. And there around my dining room table, once laden with food from Egypt, He gave me a taste of heaven. And that flavor I never can get over. There is no food like God's best, God's first. It alone satisfies. And as I began to eat from the food that God provided, all the worldly and trendish and borderline stuff that I had been enjoying and thought was so sweet lost its taste and became bitter and bland. I took Jesus into the living room of my house. This room was intimate and comfortable. I liked it. Had a big fireplace, overstuffed chairs, a bookcase, sofa, and a quiet atmosphere. And He also seemed pleased with it, and He said, this is indeed an awesome room. Let's come here often. And in this secluded and quiet place, let's fellowship every day. Well, naturally, as a young Christian, I was thrilled. I couldn't think of anything I'd rather do than have a few minutes with Christ every day, just the King and I. He promised, I will meet you here every morning early. Meet me here, and we will start the day together. So morning after morning, I would come downstairs into the living room, and He would take a book of the Bible from the bookcase and would open it, and we would read it together. He would tell me of its riches and unfold its truths. He would make my heart warm, and I would feel safe and secure and loved. They were wonderful times together. But little by little, I got busy, and these times were shortened. Why, I do not know. I thought I was just too busy to spend time with Christ. Finally, not only did these times get short, they were skipped. And I remember one morning when I was in a hurry, rushing down the steps, eager to be on my way. As I passed the living room door, the door was open just a bit, and I saw the fire in the fireplace and the Lord sitting there, and it hit me. He was my guest. I had invited Him into my heart. He had come to my home, and yet I had forgotten Him. I had ignored Him. I had neglected Him. I turned and went in, and with a sad face, I said, Lord, forgive me. Have you been here all these mornings? He said, yes, I told you I would be here every morning to meet with you. I was even more ashamed and embarrassed. He was faithful in spite of my unfaithfulness. I asked for forgiveness, and He forgave. He said, the trouble with you is this. You've been thinking of this quiet time and prayer time and Bible time as something that's about you and what you have to do. But you have forgotten that this time, son, this time with you and with me, it means something to me. Remember, son, I love you. I have bought you at a great cost. I desire to meet with you. Is it too much to ask that we could just spend a little time, even just a little time, every day? Don't neglect this time for my sake. Whatever else you may desire, remember, I want to talk with you and be your friend. It wasn't long before he asked, do you have a workshop? Well, down in the basement of the house, I had a workbench with some tools. I wasn't doing much with it at all. Once in a while, I would go down there and play around with a few things, but nothing substantial or worthwhile. I took Jesus down there. He looked at the workbench, saw the talents and skills I had. He said, this is well furnished, well supplied. This is a nice workshop. Everything that you can do with your hands, your feet, your voice, God has given to you and invested in you. God has made you special. The way He made you on purpose, like no one else, for His glory. What are you doing for me? he asked. What are you producing out of this workshop for the kingdom of God? He looked at the one or two toys that I had thrown together on the carpenter's bench, and he held one up to me. Are these little toys all that you're building, all that you're producing out of this shop? Well, I stammered a little, Lord, this is the best that I thought that I could do. I know it isn't much, and I'm sorry. He said, would you like to do better? Let me have your hands. And he took his big arms and wrapped them around me, taking my hands in his, and skillfully began working through me. God began using me in my workshop. And I have much to learn and find myself often unsatisfied with my work, but God began doing his work through me that day. He had been asking about the recreation room, the game room. I had been hoping that he wouldn't ask about the rec room. There were certain friendships, associations, amusements, pastimes, activities that I wanted to keep for myself. I did not think that Jesus would approve of them, so I evaded the question. But there came an evening when I was leaving to join some friends. Just as I stepped out the door, Jesus said, are you going out? I dropped my head and I said, yes. He said, good, I would like to go along. Oh, I wouldn't think that you would want to go along tonight. Maybe tomorrow night you and I will go somewhere, but not tonight. He said, I thought when I moved in, we were going to do everything together. That evening, I went alone. I went alone to places that Jesus would not go. I went with friends that Jesus would not go with. I laughed at jokes that Jesus would not laugh at. I looked at things that Jesus would not look at. I did some things Jesus would not do. I felt so alone because Jesus could not go. I felt miserable and wretched. What kind of friend was I to Christ when I deliberately left him out of my associations, doing things and going places that I knew very well he would not enjoy? When I returned that evening, I saw a light in his room and I went up to talk it over with him. And I said, Lord, I have learned my lesson. Forgive me. I really can't have a good time without you. We're going to do everything together now. Then we went into the rec room and he transformed it and he took out all the junk of this world, things that others could do but I could not. Anything that would be a hindrance to spiritual progress in my life and to my testimony. And he brought in real joy and real happiness and laughter and music that's been ringing in my house ever since. Amen. One day I found him waiting for me at the door. He said to me as he entered, there is a peculiar odor in this house. There is something dead in here. It's upstairs. It's coming from the hall closet. And as soon as he said those words, I knew what he was talking about. Yes, there was a small hall closet up there on the landing, just a few feet square, and in that closet, behind lock and key, I had one or two little personal things that I didn't want anybody to know about. I wouldn't want my parents to know, I wouldn't want my pastor to know, and I certainly didn't want Jesus to know. I had kept them for myself. I knew they were dead and rotting things, and yet I loved them, and I wanted them, and was ashamed to admit that they were there. I went up the steps with him. As we mounted the steps, the odor became stronger and stronger, and he pointed in at the door, and he said, it's in there. It's right in there, some dead thing. I was angry. That's the only way I know how to put it. I had given him access to my library. I had given him the dining room and the workshop and the rec room. And now he is talking to me about a little 2x4 closet. I said to myself, this is too much. I am not going to give him the key. Well, he said, as if reading my thoughts, if you think that I am going to stay around here with that stinking odor, you are mistaken. I will go somewhere else, but I cannot stay here with that. And I saw Jesus start down the stairs. When you have come to know Jesus as your personal Savior, you have loved Him and He has loved you. The worst thing that can happen is to watch Jesus begin to walk away. And I preach to someone tonight who has been watching Jesus walk away. But I beg of you to do what I had to do. I said quickly, oh God, forgive me. Here is the key. I'll give you the key to this hidden place in my heart. Here's the key, Lord. Don't keep walking away from me. Here is the key, but you'll have to open the closet and clean it out. I don't believe I have what it takes to clean out that closet on my own. And Jesus said, I know. I know you don't have the strength to do this on your own, but if you'll give me the permission to do it, I'll clean out that closet. With trembling hand, I turned the key over to him. And he took the key. And he opened the door to that little closet. And he threw away every bit of trash. And he cleaned out all of that mess. And he fixed it. And he painted it new. It was wonderful victory to have the junk gone, to have the deadness out and the stink and the smell gone, to have the joy back. I want Sister Wiseman to come and begin to play. Then I said to Jesus, I've been trying to keep this house of mine clear for you. I start in one room. No sooner do I have it clean till it seems like another room is dirty. I begin on the second room. The first room becomes dirty again. Lord, I'm so tired of this kind of religion. So tired of trying to keep my heart clean. I just can't live it. I can't do this. I can't seem to have what others have. I just can't live this. So I ventured a question, Lord, is there any chance that you would just take over the responsibility of this whole house? Operate it for me and with me just as you did that little tiny closet, and take responsibility to keep my heart where it ought to be. I could see his face light up as he replied, absolutely, son, that's really what I came in here to do in the very first place. I moved in here to do everything you need. But he said, really, I'm not yet the owner of this house. I'm just a guest. I have no authority to proceed since this property isn't mine. I always respect the rights of the owner. I saw it in a minute, and I dropped to my knees, saying, Lord, you have been the guest. I have been the host. You've been the co-pilot, and I'm in the driver's seat. From now on, Lord, I want you to be the host. I want you to take the wheel. I want you to own my house. Running as fast as I could, I went to the safe. I took out the title deed to the house, describing its assets and its liabilities, its situation and its full condition. And I brought it to the master, and I signed it over to him for time and for eternity. Here, Lord, this is all I am. This is all I have. This is all I ever hope to be. Whatever anybody thinks or says, whether I am liked or disliked, whether I am rich or poor, whether I am a success or a failure, Lord, you run this house. You own this place called my heart. It's none of self and all of you. And I will only live here as servant and friend. And I can tell you there is no better life to live. The question I ask tonight, have you made your heart his home? If so, are there rooms in your heart that he has no control of? Are there little closets with self still in control? Is there a shelf behind the door? Or in the busyness of life, have you allowed this world to seep back into the rec room or the living room or the dining room of your heart? I'd like for you to do the right thing tonight. And forget about who is here, and forget about who you have to ask to get by, to get out of your row. And just say, if no one else needs help, I want help tonight. I want to tell God. He can have it all. He can clean out the room. He can clean out the closet. He can clean off the shelf. Whoever you are, I want you to come right now. It's that simple. On this night, it's that simple for somebody here tonight. I want you to come right now as we all stand together and we sing this simple little prayer. Into my heart, into my heart, come in. To my heart, Lord Jesus, come in today, come in to stay, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Time, if you're here tonight, you need to really tell Jesus to take care of that room. If you need to sign over the deed to your life, if you need to hand over the key to that closet, that room, this is a good night to step right out and mind God as we sing this prayer one more time. Into my Lord Jesus. playing it one more time. There's still room at the altar. There's room at the front seats. There's plenty of room. You just come. We'll pray with you before we leave tonight. Gather for prayer and pray with these until they're satisfied. Some of you ladies right over here, and then men across the altar here, let's pray. There's wonderful victory tonight. He's in the business of reaching down and touching these lives and in helping them wherever they are. What they have come to pray about tonight, our God is well able for. Glory to his precious name. Amen. Let's have a good season of prayer around the front tonight. Thank you so much for being here.